What's the basic unit of the human body? You might say it's our DNA, and indeed, research into the genome has unlocked a trove of scientific and medical discoveries. But Alfonso Martinez Arias argues that all the attention on genes has caused some of us to overlook another critical building block, the cell. Alfonso is a professor of bioengineering in Barcelona, Spain, and he joins us now to share five big ideas from his new book, The Master Builder: How the New Science of the Cell is Rewriting the Story of Life.
Hello. I am a developmental biologist, someone who wants to understand how a fertilized egg turns into an organism. This is a remarkable process, and I have written a book about it in which I introduce you to its main protagonist, the cell. How it came into being, acquired amazing creative powers, and how it has evolved into an entity that builds and defines who we are. The book is called The Master Builder, and here I'm going to share with you five of its key insights. Insight number one: cells are us. DNA and its genes are deeply embedded in our culture, who we are, our health. Some people would even claim our lifespan. All is considered to be written in our genes. But is it? When you look into the mirror, you do not see genes. And when you listen to me now, smell flowers, or taste food, you don't do it through your genes. What you see in the mirror is cells, and you use special cells connected to circuits of other cells called neurons to hear, smell, or taste. Furthermore, you were never a gene, but once you were a cell, a lonely single cell deep inside the womb of your mother. If you stop and think about it, it is surprising that we have made an icon of our world something that we cannot see, genes, and do not know very much about what we actually are made up of and can see, cells. Cells are said to be the building blocks of life, but they are much more than passive brick-like entities holding us together. You are indeed the work of 30 trillion cells, each a mesh of proteins, sugars, and fats, rigged into a web of roads that link functional compartments, protein factories, sorting stations, signaling centers. Flexible structural frameworks, and at their center, in a vault, the DNA and its genes. When you get to know those cells, you realize that each one is a living structure, imbued with an ability to sense, decide, interact with its neighbors, and morph with a purpose. And there are many kinds of cells: neurons that connect you to the world, muscles that allow you to move, photoreceptors that allow you to see, red blood cells that help you breathe, intestinal ones that absorb nutrients, skins that protect you from the environment. Cells are both engineers and builders, and have an interesting relationship with genes that I tell you in insight number two. Insight number two: the genome is the toolbox of the cell. It would be foolish to argue that genes have nothing to do with who and what we are. They do. But they are not the masters of our being and fate that they have been made out to be. The well-settled cultural importance of the gene can probably be traced back to Richard Dawkins and his selfish gene idea that claimed the gene as the essence of biology, and suggested that in the grand scheme of things, genes rule, and as he put it, organisms are survival machines created by genes for their spread into eternity. For Dawkins, cells do not exist. Surprisingly, it is when we try to describe a genome that we realize something is amiss between the gene and the organism. When the first draft of the human genome was unveiled, it was hailed as the book of life, the instruction manual to make a human being. But if you try to read and use such a manual, you realize that this is an impossible task, for there is no such a manual. The genome is also often referred to as a toolbox. This is a better analogy, but one that begs the question of who or what uses the tools in the box. Could it be the genes themselves? Strange toolbox, then, in which its contents are the users. When you think about it, in the context of an organism, the only possible user is, of course, the cell. It is the cell as a sensing, deciding, calculating entity that reads the environment, its neighbors, its states, and chooses, yes, chooses, which genes to activate and use to fulfill its needs or those of the community it belongs to. The genome contains information for tools and materials that cells use to build other cells, to prepare themselves, create societies and samples that we call organs and tissues, and weave them all into an organism. Far from being an instruction manual for an organism, a genome is a collection of tools and materials at the service of life's true expert builders, the cells. Insight number three, the cell is a master builder. If there is a situation in which we see the creative power and abilities of cells in full flow, it is in the making of an embryo, the crucible of an organism, a never-changing scaffold which cells sculpt to build and bring together tissues and organs. Most people studying embryos will tell you that an organism is made through a sequence of genes controlling genes, that cells are different because they express different genes that lead to new cohorts of genes. But while there is some truth in this account, it is very limited, and it does not explain what makes cells look different from each other, have the shapes that they have, the activities that they display. Which genes determines the size of a cell? Which one decides that we only have two arms, five fingers, one liver? Which one positions the heart to your left? Recently, a survey concluded that there are about 12,000 genes contributing to our height, but enumerating them does not tell us about height. Not a good description of such an important feature, if you ask me. The telephone directory of your town is not a representation of its urban architecture or its social structure. More importantly, it does not tell you how it has come to be. If we want to know what those numbers of genes mean, we have to ask cells. For it is cells that have developed the ability to interpret those genes, to count, to sense and shape the space they create. To do this, they draw from the toolbox that lies waiting to be used in the genome. It is cells that control genes and not genes that determine cells. As I discuss in my book, genes can create time, but it is cells that create space and control time, particularly when building embryos and throughout your lifetime. It is cells that determine how big every organ is, the shape of your face and the length of your limbs. An important clue on how they do it is in insight number four. Cells talk to each other, and we are learning the language. In the 1930s, a young woman by the name of Hilde Mangold, working in the laboratory of a famed embryologist in Germany, did an experiment. She took a piece of a very early nude embryo from a region that would have given rise to part of the head and put it where the tail should come from, then waited. The result was startling, Siamese animals. Furthermore, upon close inspection, she realized that this happened because the transplanted cells had told the surrounding ones to change their plans and make a new body. The conclusion, cells talk to each other, give and take instructions, and use these exchanges to build organs, tissues, organisms. Further work showed that this happens in all embryos during their development and led to the discovery of the language of cells. Some of the words are chemical and some mechanical, like forces due to pressure from numbers of cells or flows. The language is universal, and cells use it to choose and control genes to create and use space and time. Over the last 10 years, we have started to speak this language and so to interact with cells. We are not yet very good, but starting with embryonic stem cells, which have the potential to become any cell of an organism, we are using our very rudimentary cellular language skills to create mini organs, brains, livers, intestines, and more recently structures that resemble very early human embryos. The aim of this work is to study and understand issues of human disease and, at some point in the future, create replacement organs and tissues. At the same time, this work is raising important questions about our nature and our future as a species. Insight number five. A cell's eye view of biology expands views of our nature and self. You might be surprised to learn that you're not the same being that you were a month ago. In that time, your intestine has changed 10 times, your skin 3 or 4 times, and your blood has received large numbers of fresh red blood cells to the tune of 2 million per second. Even your bones change, but at slower pace. They take about 10 years to turn over. There are exceptions to this renewal, for example, your heart and your brain, but much of your encasing and your body is changing all the time, though we don't understand yet the reasons for that. Over the same period, your genome has remained pretty much the same. So if we want to understand who and what we are, we need to look into the working of cells. What we need is a cells, not a genes view of ourselves. A critic might argue that by highlighting the powers of cells over the power of genes, I am endowing cells with mystical abilities that do not help advance our understanding of life any more than reductionistic genetics. I concede that it is early days in our understanding of the cell, but it is also true that we are not going to make progress simply by cataloging the genes they express. We need to engage with their properties, find the elements that drive them, and learn to control them. We already have many examples of how cells rule our lives, our health, our being. What we now need is understanding. I sense a shift in our views about how we are made and who we are, in which genes are integrated within the activity of cells. Such a cell-based understanding of biological system promises to help us tackle disease, improve our lives, and also see ourselves in a richer and less deterministic view than that provided by our current gene-centric view of biology. The century that is now well underway is, and will be, the century of the cell, and in The Master Builder, I tell you why. Thank you very much for listening, and I very much hope that you will enjoy my book.
Thank you, Alfonso. That was Alfonso Martinez Arias with 5 big ideas from The Master Builder, How the New Science of the Cell is Rewriting the Story of Life. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.